Morris Mizalowski with us talking about the future of business. And what business are we focusing on today?
I thought we'd have a look at music today.
Oh, okay, great.
Hi, Mark. How are you? Hi, listeners.
Okay.
So, I thought Macworld, I mean, that's what got me started. Macworld's going on in California,
well,
San Francisco.
We had Peter Blasino on the phone yesterday. He was actually in San Francisco, but they hadn't announced what the big innovations were.
He was waiting for it. That's happened overnight for us. So it was the first year that Steve's job wasn't there, and he's ill at the moment. Also the last year they're ever going to do it this way, they claim as well. And it was one of the most lackluster announcements of all.
Really? Why?
There was only one piece of hardware, because normally we wait for the hardware to come out. This is where the iPhone came out, where all the gadgets have been announced. It's traditionally the vanguard of the year. And this year just doesn't seem to be. They announced a new MacBook, which will be lighter, faster, the battery will last longer. It's certainly a sexy
thinner,
piece.
Probably.
Yeah, all that.
All of that.
It's sexy. It's definitely a sexy piece of kit and something that lots of people will want, but not earth-shattering.
Yep.
So really no big earth-shattering announcements. But what I took out, which I thought was really interesting, is the future of digital music.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's everywhere, and it's the bane of the music business.
It is, and it's one of those things that we're going to have to grapple with, because it's certainly not going to go away. It's only going to increase.
No.
So, like many of my clients, it's one of those things where we unfortunately have to talk about an industry that's under change, it's under evolution,
yep.
And wanting it to go back just ain't going to make it so, and we know that.
No.
So it is bad from that point of view, but we just got to learn to adapt. And there's some interesting ways that's happening. But what they talked about yesterday, what Phil talked about, the guy that did the presentation at Macworld, he talked about iTunes being the biggest single library of music in the world. No surprise for that. But what I thought was amazing was that he claims they have sold 6 billion, with a B, 6 billion songs since they've started.
Wow. That's huge.
Isn't it incredible?
But I guess the difference is that 6 billion songs, that's individual songs.
Mm.
So people aren't buying albums.
Yes.
They're downloading an individual song. That's the new way. I mean, when I grew up, when the listeners grew up, We bought an album when the new Beatles record was coming out. It was a huge big deal for us. We'd count the days and we'd go down and we'd get this physical thing that had a brilliant cover and the liner notes and the pictures and all of that was as important as the actual record itself.
It absolutely was. It was like the event before you listened to it. And certainly I was the same. You know, the build-up of getting an album was just horrific. But as you said rightly, those days have gone, and I think they've been gone for about 10 years.
They have.
It's been at least a decade, because now people are more... they are more attuned to a particular song they like rather than the person singing it. And the person singing it becomes some kind of a rock star, obviously, and they follow that person, but not to the extent of wanting the next album. They just might want the next song.
I don't think quite like it used to be. I mean, in the 70s in particular, the music stars were the big stars in the stratosphere. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's the football stars.
Yeah, I think you're right, but we still see a lot of them. There's a lot of them coming along. I think they're more transitory, and that's one of the issues too, that they'll be around for a year or 2 years and make really big noise but not be heard about. You know, 3 years later, it's who are they?
Yep.
And that's changed certainly from when I grew up. I mean, we all know the names that we still know, and that's 40 years later. I think those days are definitely gone. You know, we may see one or two, but as a notion, as you've said, that's moved on. What's interesting, again, from this presentation that he gave, was he talked about the fact that iTunes, the library, has 75 million accounts with active credit cards attached to them.
Wow.
75 million accounts ready to go.
But there's 6 billion people in the world or whatever it is, so they've got a long way to go.
They have. And, you know, if anyone can do it, Apple will.
Yeah.
I mean, they certainly like this space. They talked about the new way of moving forward in this iTunes library, that what they were doing was going DRM, digital rights management. Until now, most of the songs you bought had DRM attached. It was kind of like a padlock, which meant you could use it on your iTunes.
But you couldn't transfer it to somebody
else. Yeah, you couldn't sync it back to your computer or put on any other piece of equipment that you owned. So if you wanted to take it in your car and listen to it on your iPhone, for instance, you had to buy two copies.
Yep.
And that's been a bugbear of the people that were buying it. Obviously not of the studios, but the people who were buying it. iTunes has been making noise about this for a while, and they've finally bitten the bullet and said no longer. So as of today, literally, 8 million of their songs, they have a 10 million song library, they claim, 8 million of those songs are now DRM free as of today, and by the end of March this year, the remaining 2 million will be DRM free.
What does that practically mean?
That means that when I buy a song, I can download it to my iPhone, but I can also sync it onto my computer, I can put it onto a CD and take it to my car, so I own that
song.
Does
that also mean that I can give it to all my friends?
It technically doesn't. Of course, it technologically means that you can, because once you own it and copy it, you can do whatever you want. But what it means is that in your domain, as long as it's being used by you and listened by your two ears, then you can put it on whatever format you want to. That's what they're hoping will happen. But of course, the practicalities, as you said, people might...
You can email it to your buddy.
Yeah, and they might do that. But certainly DRM is something that's gone now. And that's another one that the studios were really pushing for. They spent a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort making sure that lock stayed on.
Yep.
It's now almost disappeared. If iTunes has taken this, you can almost say it's disappeared.
Yeah.
So the other thing that they announced that I think will make a big difference, and this is where the studios are going to have to change their game plan, the way that they do business. They've talked now about a standard pricing policy. So when you download from iTunes, you traditionally have to pay for the song.
What is it, $1.69 or something?
Well, yeah, up to $1.69.
Yeah.
They're now changing it. What they're saying is that any song between 0 and 6 years old is going to cost you 99 cents. These are American prices, of course, yeah. 99 cents. And anything that's 6 years or over will cost you 69 cents or possibly 99 if it's one of the greater hits. So it's really a pricing policy. Now, that kind of makes sense. You know that if it's something fairly recent, you're going to pay a buck for it or a buck 20 or a buck 30.
The basic problem, though, Morris, from the music business's point of view, is that if you're going to, even if it's 69 cents or 99 cents, if you can get it for free on LimeWire and it's pretty much the same thing,
yeah,
why bother?
Absolutely. I agree with that. But if you look at the people that are downloading, you get 6 billion songs, you kind of get some people to pay. I totally get what you're saying, though, and you're absolutely right.
Until they can eradicate LimeWire, it's not really going to work.
And LimeWire is a peer-to-peer service, which means that anybody that has a computer or a server at one end who has stores that can actually send it to somebody else at the other end. That's what we're talking about with LimeWire. Yep. And that means that, you know, for free I can really send anything. And it's the same with movie people. They have the same issue, that movies are shared the same way. So that's
real BitTorrent and all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's all around that notion of, you know, I've got it for whatever reason, however, whatever purpose I've got it for, and I'm now willing to share it with the rest of the world for free. And that really is theft. I mean, no two ways about it. Underline,
well,
exclamation mark,
as it is with downloading songs on LimeWire. That's theft,
sure,
too.
Absolutely. So we don't walk away from that. Yeah. And it certainly isn't going to be locked. You know, I don't see any way that we can lock that down. What's interesting is that Nokia, the phone manufacturer, has taken another belt at this in a different way. One of the things that we've realized, no surprise again, is that most of the music that's being listened to now is being listened to on a mobile device. And a lot of those mobile...
The iPhone,
for instance. Yeah. But a lot of those phones, devices are now becoming phones, because iPhone was the first big one. I can tell you this year, 2009, that Nokia, Ericsson, all of the large manufacturers, all the large mobile manufacturers are all doing their iPhone versions, no surprise again. So we're going to see more and more music on mobile phones. Now, Nokia took an interesting slant on this, and they've started only in the last few months in Europe, not in Australia. And they have what they call CWM, which stands for Comes With Music. So when you buy that phone, that Nokia phone, what you get is a one-year license. You get a $230 grant, a one-year license to download as much music as you want from their site, from the Nokia site. And then you pay that annual subscription year on year.
That's
if you want to download.
That's a really good idea.
Isn't it clever?
Subscription is the great idea. That's a great way of doing it. And if you build it into the price of the phone, you've already paid it.
Yep.
So for a year, you get to download whatever's on there.
Whatever they have.
That's a great
And you don't
idea.
Have a choice. Because once you, if you bought that phone, that's what you get. So it's not an optional extra. It is what the phone comes with. But what's really interesting is that all of the major studios are on board with this. And the major studios are going to get something like half of the money. So they're claiming that about $120
per phone.
Per phone is going to go to the studios. So split across split across the four or five major record companies.
Ripping good idea.
So they're going to have an ongoing income from this. So it's not tied back anymore to a particular song.
Then you've got to work out, figure out a way to divide it amongst the artists.
But Apple does that now too.
Yeah. They sort of guess it.
Well, they do. There is no scientific way of doing it. And again, it's not a pure way of working it out. But I don't think we'll ever come to a pure way again.
Oh, we might. I think if we can imprint inside music a code that travels with it like a human's DNA, and so that every time it goes anywhere there, it leaves a trail. That's the future if we can figure that out.
It does, but then it requires an auditing process, and that's going to be a difficulty as well. But you're right, something like that most probably will work. There are all kinds of people, all kinds of boffins around the world trying to crack this one, but it seems
whoever cracks it, that they're going to save the music business.
They will.
But it's not like there's more music now than there's ever been.
And that's exactly it. MTV... Now, the great MTV did a survey, do an annual survey, and last year's, the 2008 one, came out, and they found that the music trend for 2008, so looking in that year of the research, was that there was a content explosion, And the context explosion wasn't just from recognised artists. It was from people who wanted to be artists, who were putting together their
all
own...
All the YouTubes and MySpaces. People
with their own studios at home, good, bad, or indifferent studios.
Yep.
All those people that now had access to it.
Yep.
Access to the world with their music. They talked about the rising music passion, which I think is very true. There seems to be more interest in music across the board than I remember for the last couple of decades. All the kids talk in music to them. You know, they all talk about songs. They all have a song. They all have an artist. I think there is more passion around it now. Absolutely. I don't think it's tied back, as we said earlier, to one particular artist anymore. But it's part of their life. Every kid leaves home with their iPhone.
That's true.
Or their iPod in their pocket. And we don't ask where they got them from, but ask them how many they've got. They've got 3,000 songs.
Yep.
So they're listening to it. And I don't even think they know why they're listening to it. It's just part of their everyday being. It's part of that multitasking. So I think that's where the passion comes from. You know, it's just part of their world. The other interesting thing they found was that local prevails. That we were really interested in local artists. Because we had access to the whole world, that was great. But we really liked to find people that were...
Our flavour.
Yeah, that sang it our way. That sang about, you know, words or lyrics or tunes that we could recognise. Digital content we've talked about. That's one of the big rising ones. Mobiles is, of course, as we said earlier, another huge one.
Glenn Wheatley's launching a mobile satellite radio.
Yes, and digital radio is coming on board this year.
Yeah.
So certainly we're headed down that way. And what I thought was really interesting, and I've seen this over the last few years, is that they claim that concerts are emerging. They're going to become bigger and bigger. So what they're claiming, the straw here is that people are listening to the music on their iPods or wherever they are.
On their computer or
wherever it happens to be. And then when the artist comes out, they're actually engaged enough with that artist to want to go and see them.
Yeah, certainly that's true. I mean, the concert thing has just exploded and it's huge. And in fact, it's a good thing in a way, because if you can perform live, shows like Idol, etc. are great. Because if you can actually perform, if you can be proved to be a performer, that's where you're going to make your money. Live gigs, a Vanessa Amorosi, those kind of people are going to be successful. But you kind of more or less have to give away your music for free.
Yeah.
But it's like PR for you. So you draw people to your gigs or to your concerts.
So it's what I call in my world a marketing expense.
That's right.
Unfortunately.
That's right.
Yeah. And so the concerts are definitely the big way to go now. And concerts are not just physical concerts either, because we can now have concerts online. So there are all kinds of ways that we can do that concert. And we talked about YouTube.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the great things that happened over the last few years, depending on which side of the fence you're on, that we're seeing all kinds of artists emerge that we would never have heard of before. And one of the most interesting ones is a guy called Tay Zonde with Chocolate Rain.
I'll let you hear a little bit of this. Kamal talking,
isn't it? So I'm not quite sure what Chocolate Rain's about, and I've actually heard this guy interviewed a few times, and he makes a point of not telling you what Chocolate Rain is.
So he's just some kid that just...
It's meant to be deep and meaningful.
But he just put it up on YouTube,
so it was about
and it's become
up,
a massive hit.
Absolutely. It went up about 3 years ago.
Went up 3 years
about
ago?
About 2.5, 3 years ago it went up the first time. And since then he's had 33 million hits.
What?
33 million hits. And he won the MTV Award for YouTube Awards last year for the best song.
Well, it's a pretty ordinary song,
isn't it? But it's taken the world on fire. Now, again, YouTube, good, bad, or indifferent about the song, but YouTube's brought that to the world, and we've never seen that before in any other way.
Yeah, well, so I can't pretend that that's a good thing, to be perfectly honest, Morris. At 14 minutes to 3, we're talking with Morris Mizalowski about the future of music, and if Chocolate Rain is the future of music, oh, my God, I don't even know what to say to that. Where were we, Morris?
So let's go back to Macworld.
We're talking to Morris Mizalowski, business futurist, about the future of music.
And at Macworld, going back to that for just a second,
yep.
One of the other announcements was one of the software programs that Macs have had for quite a while called GarageBand. And they've talked about the new GarageBand 09. This is where you can create your own music.
And it's very easy, apparently.
It really is. It's one of those things which are almost drag and drop, where you just need to know how to use a mouse and a button.
I know Marsha used to play with it. She's got a Mac, Marsha Hines, and she was making tracks. And I wish I'd known about this, because Bella Camilleri, Joe's daughter, made this fantastic track using GarageBand. It was really sophisticated,
it's
but it's apparently very easy.
It's like having a whole studio inside your Mac. And as we said, really easy to use. So one of the interesting things, one of the augments they talked about for 09, which is available as of today and will ship standard with every Mac that they sell as of today, is something where you are able to learn to play music. So through GarageBand, you can learn to play guitar and you can learn to play the piano.
On a computer?
On a computer.
Since, I mean, piano I can understand, but guitar?
So you would need to have a guitar, a physical guitar.
Oh, so it just teaches you using your actual instrument.
So what they have are nine introductory lessons for both of them, either or, and it has a guitarist, obviously, or a pianist, and they take you through. So you actually see a piece of video. They show you on screen how to hit the keys or strum, whatever it is that you need to do, and they take you through the lessons.
One of our producers, Nick, was just asking me this morning about wanting to learn to play the guitar, and he was asking me for recommendations on who I should, you know, an actual human, God forbid that we should use an actual human in 2009, but this is an alternative way of doing it.
I think so, and I think an interesting way, and again, part of the package, so if you have it anyway, well worth doing. But the other thing that they talked about, which is for singing, is they're going to have what are called artist lessons, and they've got people like John Fogerty, like Sting, you know, Patrick Stump from the Fall Out Boys, and Norah James. And in that, they pick a particular song or two, and they will show you what they think the song is. So they'll interpret the song for you. So actually see them on video. They'll interpret the song for you. They'll tell you the story behind it. You can have a look at the lyrics and the notation. You can practice with the original track.
Oh, that's great.
You can create your own mix out of that. And you can also slow it down, you know, pace it up, do all that kind of stuff. But you can do it with the artists themselves.
That's incredible.
Now, I think it is incredible, and what's interesting, because we talked about having to find new revenue streams for the industry, is that you'll pay $4.99 American for the lesson, and that's it.
That's great.
I like that $5 to sit there and to play.
And to work with Norah Jones.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's fantastic.
And
Sting.
And to have
a lesson with Sting.
And to have their insight.
And have their track that you can play with.
Absolutely.
That's stunning.
I think that will be a big hit.
That's good fun.
And again, the GarageBand comes standard with Mac, you know, for us IBM users, or you know, it's going to take a bit longer. So the other thing I thought was interesting also was the change of the way that music is disseminated. Now, we talked about albums before.
Yeah.
I think the albums are history.
They are. I think that's a real shame and a loss.
Vinyl. I think it is too. And the sound.
We used to create albums as a whole complete piece of art, a piece of work which told a story. Now that's gone.
It has. So Bruce Springsteen, I think, has come to a very interesting way. He has a new album coming out at the end of this month, and the album is called Working on a Dream.
Yep.
So what he's done over the last 2 months is to release for free a couple of his songs. So back in October, he put on a song on his website that you could download for free as a promo to it, and now on several websites, including Amazon.com, which is primarily where you can get it, Amazon.com, you can download his free track for this month. And
he's just giving away a track a month?
He's giving it away.
So what does he hope? Is he hope that you'll be turned on
enough
by
to
the three tracks that you'll go out and buy the actual
physical
album?
Exactly. No, you'll download it from Amazon or from somewhere
else
when it comes out.
You'll buy the whole album?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really his way of promoting himself, of getting that song out there and played before the album's released.
Can we hear?
Let's
hear a little bit of Sting, of the boss.
Bruce.
This is his new single?
It is. It's called Life Itself.
I'm not going to go away singing that one.
No, but I'm biased. I think it's great. So if you want to download it, it is available for free from Amazon.com. So we started off the session by talking about the change in the music industry, and really it has come a long way. There are some negatives, as we talked about, absolutely. But it's a matter of this business, like everybody else, trying to find its way forward. And for the consumers as well, to be a bit more honest in the way that they enjoy the music and the way they pay for it. So we really have to meet middle of the ground.
My theory is that music is now free, and that you have to give it away, and that the way the artists get paid for it is by performing live. Thanks a lot, Morris. That was
a pleasure.
Really great.